Take your Bibles, if you would, turn to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 4. If you have your Bibles, hope you follow along with me today. I want to speak to you on the subject of where do we go from here. Basically, I'm referring to and talking about the thing that's transpired in our lives and something that we've never seen before, nothing we've ever gone through. I'm thankful for some of the time. I'm grateful for where we are as far as being a little bit past all of the chaos that we were having, and I pray that it would stay away. However, as I see that, I realize that more than ever, we need to sharpen our skills. We need to be faithful in every area we possibly can to serve the Lord. Again, I've said this before, and you said you sound like a broken record. I'm sorry. I'll probably keep sounding like a broken record. But I believe the coming of our Lord is near. And I believe today that I want to be faithful right up to the end. And I tell you, I thought about it the other day. I said, people that's been slack, boy, this is a good time to catch up. And make up, you may not make it all up, but I tell you, it'd be pleasing to God to see people get on fire in serving the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to take your Bibles to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians is one of the greatest books we find in the Bible. All of the Bible, of course, we know is the Word of God, and they're all great. But the book of Ephesians has been one that has taught us a great deal of things in our life. I'm glad that we can come together on Sunday morning and worship the Lord and be faithful to Him. And I believe this is a good time, now that we're coming back and seeing people come back, that we look at the book of Ephesians and that we be reminded of the doctrine and the duty. Now, let me emphasize to you the importance of what I just said. I said the doctrine and the duty. Understand today that the doctrine of the Word of God is of great importance. And I tell you today, anybody that says doctrine doesn't matter, just love one another, listen, they've missed the boat. I think we ought to love one another, but I believe we ought to understand the importance of doctrine. But then we come down to the duty that is there before us. In our verse today, in verse number 1 is where we're going to be starting, but we're going to be looking back over the whole book of Ephesians. The Apostle Paul writes, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech ye that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Let me read it again. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. Father, we thank you for this day. We do thank you for the opportunity, the privilege we have to come together today. And Lord, I do pray now that you'd anoint my lips, that you give me the strength and the help that I need today to deliver the message that would be pleasing to you. We ask now, Lord, that you guide and direct. I pray that you would just speak to hearts. And Lord, I pray for those that are listening by way of internet. We're grateful today they've joined in with us. But Lord, today I pray that you'd help us come out of this, Lord, greater than we were when we went in. Lord, the proof of a Christian, I believe, is the strength we have after the trial. And I pray, Lord, that you would guide and direct us, give us wisdom, instruct us, guide us, direct us in all that we do. And we'll thank you now for what you do. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen. If you go back and read the first three chapters of Ephesians, you'll find some very thrilling and profound things that will help you in your Christian life. In fact, I tell a man that's lost, he needs to read Romans and John, because truly those are the way that describe the way of salvation. But when we come to Ephesians, Paul begins to tell the people the needs that they have in their life. And here we find him in the first three chapters of the book of Ephesians. He's focusing in on the doctrine of God. Can I say today, our duty will not be right if our doctrine is not right. We must know who we believe. The Apostle Paul said, I know whom I believed in. Now, it's more than just saying I believe in Jesus. I know whom I believed in. That's why it's important to come to church. That's why it's important to have Sunday school classes. That's why it's important to have clubs and work with young people. It's because when we come to that time, it's a time for learning the doctrine of the Word of God. Sometimes here, since I've been kind of down a little bit, I've watched a little bit of Jeopardy. And it's amazing, you might occasionally get somebody that'll have Bible questions on there that may get them. But you'd be surprised, the majority of them, they know everything else, but they know very little about the Bible. If you're a child of God, you ought to know what the Scripture has to say. So Paul is focusing in, and I want you to understand, first of all, notice that word in the first part of verse 4, chapter 4. He said, I therefore. Now, understanding, and I should have said this a while ago, the word therefore means because of what I just said. So when you see that word, and again, it's kind of getting old now, but we always say when you see the word therefore, you look to see what it's there for. And the way to find out what it's there for is to go back and read the previous chapters to find what it's there for, and that's exactly what took place. Now, I'm not going to ask you to turn to all the Scripture, but I think it's important that you hear what I got to say this morning. If you want to jot these verses down, it'd be a great thing to put to have. But first of all, out of the book of Ephesians, in the first three chapters, God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. That's in verse 4 of chapter 1, the book of Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, God gave us all spiritual blessings through Jesus. Now understand, this is coming from the book of Ephesians, and God's telling us all the things that He's done. I think of the verse in Psalm that said, He daily loadeth us with benefits. In Ephesians 1, 5, 11, and 12, God determines that we're to be like Jesus and with Jesus one day. In Ephesians 1, 6, God makes us accepted in Christ. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He has saved us. In Ephesians 1, 7, God proved the blood of Christ that washed us from our sins. I'm grateful today that Christ shed His blood in order that we might be saved. In Ephesians 2, verse 1 through 4, God reaches out to us when we were dead in our sins and headed for hell. Boy, you say amen right there. We find in Ephesians 2, 4, God loves us. Friend, no matter whether anybody else does, God loves us. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 5, God gives us life. I tell you today, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In Ephesians 2, 6 and 7, God secures our future. In Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, God secures our foundation. For by grace are you saved through faith, not that of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. In Ephesians 2:10, God gives us new life in Jesus. In Ephesians 2:11 through 18, God brought Jews and Gentiles together in Jesus. In Ephesians 2, verse 19 through 22, God made a new race of people from those who believe in the gospel. And then the last one, Ephesians 3:1 through 21, God desires to use us, to bless us, and to teach us about the divine mystery of everlasting grace and love. That ought to thrill our soul. Not because I read it, but because that comes straight from the Bible. And in those three chapters, all those truths have been transformed. Everything I mentioned and more makes up the first context of chapter number 3. In the summary, Paul focuses on three truths in these three chapters. He tells us how God reconciled an alien people to Himself. We were aliens, and He reconciled them to Himself. He tells us how God brought the Jews and the Gentiles together in the person of the Son. I rejoice today that there's not a living, breathing person on this earth that Jesus did not die for. I'm grateful today that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. He tells us how God took the redeemed Jews and Gentiles and made them a new people. It's called the body of Christ. Friend, we're in the family of God. I love the fact we're a family. Here's the church, those who have been saved. But we're in the real family, the family of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now when we come to chapter 4, Paul begins to shift from doctrine to duty. He's reminded them. And by the way, from time to time, we all need to be reminded about what God's done. I know that was a lot to try to grasp in a minute, what I just read. But I'm going to tell you something. Just the fact that it's there and God's given it to us proves how much God loves us and cares about us. He shifts from a positional truth to a practical truth. From what we believe to how we behave. And truly, if you believe the Word of God, you ought to behave according to the Word of God. He moves from exposition of doctrine to exhortation of how we're to live and act as a child of God. He moves from the principles and the foundations of the Word of God to the practice that we ought to have in our life. The Bible plainly teaches all the way through that we're to live up to what Christ has done for us. We say that Jesus paid it all and we owe nothing, and basically we don't owe nothing, but that makes us a debtor of the Lord Jesus Christ. So how we behave in life will always be determined by what we believe to be true. Boy, there's so many people today believing so many things, and you listen to people on TV, and we got some confused individuals today in our society. But right now, if we're going to behave right, we got to believe right. And how do we do that? The Bible said faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And I believe today the Word of God is important, but I believe fellowship with God's people is important. I believe being in the house of God and being faithful to what God has is what we need. But right doctrine is essential to right living. Friend, today we cannot take the Bible and mark it up like we want it to and say what we want it to say. We have to understand that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable Nothing else that we need to do. So Paul turns from teaching the doctrine to teaching us about the duties of the believers. So I want to draw a challenge to you this morning as a church. A challenge that we come to the place. This could almost be like a... Probably wasn't a good place to take the water, but we come to the place of a new beginning. I remember when people started coming back to church, it reminded me of the early days when we started. We didn't have but a handful of people, and we used to stand at the window excited when people would drive up. And I've kind of been that way. My heart longs to see our people once again together and worshiping together and serving God. I want you to notice with me in verse 1, that's where I'm preaching from. But remember, all this is based not on what I try to tell you need to do, but on what Christ has done for us. And he mentioned that in Ephesians chapter 1 through 3. The challenge we have today is to notice a personal challenge. Now, this word is a word that we've seen many times, but I want to jump there to it and jump ahead a little bit to where I beseech you. Now, understand, Paul said, I beseech you. It reminds us that he's speaking to individual. He said, I'm not speaking to y'all, even though he was from the South, we believe. I'm just kidding. But he basically was saying, I beseech you, not anybody else but you. It reminds us that he's speaking to the individual. Well, while this book was written in Ephesus nearly 2,000 years ago, it might as well have been delivered to every person in this room today. Friend, the Bible is for our edification. It's for our strengthening, our growth in the Word of God and in the things of God. The word beseech is filled with meaning. It means to call to one side, to summon, to exhort, to entreat, to comfort, to encourage, to strengthen, by consolation, to instruct and teach. Did you get all that? Hope you did. But again, God tells us, the word beseech tells us there's much to be done to exhort, entreat, and to comfort and encourage. And boy, we're living in a day where people need comfort and people need encouragement. And we need to realize that. The word beseech, listen, you might not know this, but it's the same word that is used as comforter four times in John's gospel. In John 14, verse 16 through 18, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth in you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. So Paul's basically saying, the word comforter, we know it, what its meaning is, that friends have become, it's an encouragement, basically the same thing, guidance, consolation, instruction, teaching, comfort, exhortation, among other things. And the Holy Spirit performs that ministry in our lives. Aren't you grateful today that he promised us that he would never leave us nor forsake us? He's with us every step of the way, no matter where we are. We're not in this world alone. I tell you today, I know that fear has been stricken in the hearts of many of you. And you look at what's happening in society, and somebody said, man, all this rioting and all the burning and all the protesting and all the tearing down and all the destruction that's going on, man, I don't know, I'm scared. Listen, fear not if you're a child of God. I tell you today, God will give us the strength we need to get through what we need to get through. And one day, he's coming back and taking us all out of here where we can spend eternity with him forever. This passage is speaking about the Spirit of God who offers comfort, consolation, encouragement, strength. It's not talking about the Holy Spirit here in this passage. He's talking about the word beseech. He's referring to himself as one of the saints. And he highlights the truth. He highlights this with an important truth. While we have the Spirit of God who fulfills the comfort in our lives. Friend, believe me, Brother David preached the other night, Wednesday night, on the peace of God and shared some great examples and some things about peace. Friend, I tell you today, that's, you know, peace of God in your heart will make all the difference in the world about how you live, how you serve, and what you do. And so understanding that we've got the Comforter. And we understand when we have the peace of God, we have, and what I started to say, I went to the hospital last week, and Susan dropped me off, her and Lori dropped me off, and they picked me up on Friday. I'm going to be honest with you, I was a little anxious about the surgery, but never one time did I feel alone. Never one time did I feel that I was all by myself. I was kind of thinking about it before I went. I said, I'll probably be having a pity party up there being by myself. But I tell you, I didn't. I just made the best of it. And I thought about the goodness of God in my life and in your life. And so what Paul's saying, he said, I beseech you, do the things that the Holy Spirit has wrought in you. Become an encouragement to somebody. Friend, today I see so many people and they're so angry and they're so bitter and they're so unthankful and they're so unholy, as the Scripture teaches us. But yet we as Christians ought to be the encouragement to them. I want to tell you, just say a few things. A true friend will reach out in love to be an encouragement. The Bible said in Acts 11, 22 through 24, then the tidings of these things came into the ears of the church which were in Jerusalem, and they were sent from Barnabas that he should go out as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart that they would cleave to the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and faith, and much people were added to the church. You see what happens in a person's life when they are touched by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And to restore, listen, there's people today that have slipped and failed. There's people that's gotten away from God. We have the ministry of reconciliation and restoration. The Bible said in Galatians 6, 1 and 2, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such as one in the spirit of weakness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. So we to encourage, we're to restore, we're to challenge. And we find as Paul is speaking in Galatians 2, he said, but when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of circumcision. And the other Jews disassembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the word of truth of the gospel, this is Paul speaking, when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew liveth after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as we do as the Jews? In Proverbs 27, 6, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are doubtful. Proverbs 27, 6. Listen, I know folks, people said, man, preacher, you know, don't fuss at me. Don't get mad. Listen, I'm sorry, but God called me here to report all untruth and sin, and I surely do it in love. I love this church. I love the people of this church, and I don't care what you do. I'll never stop loving you, and I mean that with all my heart. But I tell you, I have an obligation. I have an obligation to challenge you. I have an obligation to challenge our members. I have an obligation to tell people today that we have a responsibility to serve God. We need to be faithful to God and do what God would have us to do. Not only were we to do that, but we're to instruct. In Acts 18, he said, and a certain Jew named Apollos, being of Alexandria, an eloquent man, and mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him into them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Here's a man didn't know nothing but the baptism of John. I tell you, a lot of people said, I can't tell nobody nothing. I don't know anything. Listen, if you know Jesus Christ and you know he died on the cross, and if you know that he'll save those that will call upon him, you know enough to begin to tell them. And then you need to find you a good church that preaches the word of God and find somebody that will take you under their wing and begin to instruct you so that you'll mature in the things of God and be faithful to him. Friend, a true friend is not one that will laugh at your sin. A true friend is not one that will turn away when you need help. He said in 1 John 3:18, thou shalt not see thy brother's ass or his ox fall down by the way and hide thyself from them. Thou shalt surely help him to lift them up again. He said in 1 John 3:18, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed of truth. I'm simply saying today that we have a duty in our service to the Lord. So much medicine's got my mouth really dried out. We find here to be a comfort and a help is to exhort, to entreat, to comfort, to encourage, to strengthen, by consolation, to instruct and teach. Friend, today it's sad. I challenge you sometime, get online, find one of these Bible quizzes and take it and see how you do. That'll tell you where you stand as far as your relationship with God. I'm not saying all of them are everything they need to be, but the ones I've looked at, they're at least they give the true answer. But I challenge you today. It's a personal challenge. He said, I beseech you. He said, listen, I want to tell you everything about God. I want to tell you what Jesus Christ has given to me. Friend, I'll tell you what today, I don't care if you don't have a dollar in the bank. You're rich in Jesus if you have salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a comfort to know we have the Holy Spirit. Let me move quickly. Notice also a powerful challenge. He said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you. Now, we would think oftentimes for a prisoner to beseech me to serve God would not be a good thing, because why would he be a prisoner? But we know that the Apostle Paul was a prisoner, and notice who he was a prisoner of. He said, I'm a prisoner of the Lord. He said, I belong to the Lord. The Lord belongs to me, and I am obligated with my duty, my responsibility, and my spirit. It's my duty to give back to him what he's given to me in being faithful in serving him. Paul was not held captive at this time, I don't guess, I'm not sure, but whether he was held captive behind the bars, even if he was behind the bars, it wasn't the bars holding him. Whenever he was in prison, it was not the bars that held him. It was the fact that he was a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. And friend, he counted all joy when he fell into divers temptation. He's saying, consider the challenge, and I'm asking you today, what I'm doing, I'm not asking you to believe something that I don't believe. I'm not asking you to do something that I don't do. I ask you today to believe the doctrine and determine the course of your life is how you're going to be faithful to God. I believe the moment Paul first got arrested, it was not when Paul and Silas was thrown in jail. Paul got arrested on the road to Damascus. When the Lord struck him down, and immediately he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And from that point on, he was a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ, bound to do only what Christ would have him to do. He was not calling attention to himself. He wasn't saying he was a prisoner to get any sympathy. He didn't need nobody to pat him on the back and tell him anything. He just wanted you to know that his incarceration was to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm reminded so often of that scripture, we are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in our bodies. We're not our own. We're bought with a price, and we need to glorify God in our bodies, which we do. Paul literally said, everything I do for the glory of God. I'm grateful today that God's allowed me to be here. I'm glad I was able to even be in the service last week. But I tell you what, I have a tendency to just feel a sense of need in my life. To be faithful to God in every way that I can to show Him how much I love Him. I think today where I could be if it had not been for the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, I believe seriously if it hadn't been for my parents taking me to church, I literally could be in hell today. But I'm grateful that God saved me. And He said, whatsoever you do, whether in word or deed, whether you eat or drink, He said, do it all, what? For the glory of God. Friend, today, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to myself. So before we challenge others to live a certain way, we need to live that way ourselves. How do we expect people to come to church if we don't come to church ourselves? How do we expect people to be faithful to certain activities and things that we do if we're not faithful to those things, because they see our lives, they see our testimony, and they want to know that what we're doing is right and compelling? Friend, I tell you today, we have a duty and an obligation before God today. And I believe the holy words carry heavy weights. But I believe today the word of a hypocrite will destroy lives and lead people down paths. I've talked around and I've heard a lot of things. And honestly, just from what I hear people say, I think there's some churches that enjoyed the break. I think there's some people that generally say, man, this is pretty nice. I don't have to do anything on the weekend. But I tell you, that's a sad state to get in. And I tell you today, if you are enjoying it, you need to stop enjoying it. And understand the importance of being where God wants you to be and doing what God wants you to do. We notice a personal challenge, a powerful challenge, but then lastly, a practical challenge. What is it? The latter part of the verse, that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. It does no good to walk outside this building if we're not going to walk according to the truth of the doctrine of the Word of God that He has so plainly given to us and instructed us and helped us to do. In fact, it'll do more damage. The word walk means to walk around. It refers to a person who regulates his life. Simply stated, it means our conduct, the way we conduct ourselves on a daily basis as we serve God. Paul tells us we're to walk worthy. The word worthy is interesting. It means to balance the scales. In other words, to live a balanced life. And I'm glad today that God, you know, I'm not simply saying today, boy, that, you know, we can't do other things and enjoy other things. Listen, we've been so blessed to live in America. We are fortunate to live here to be able to enjoy the things that we've enjoyed. But friend, today, where is the desire, the love? And, you know, I think about it, and I think about certain things like what's happened, and I think about how that ought to be a driving factor. I remember they said back in World War II, the church house was filled when the men were going to war. Excuse me. The men were going to war. And the people were coming. They were afraid. They knew that they had to get to the house of God. They had to get there in order to pray. And yet, I think with a situation like this, I thought at the beginning, and I heard many people write articles about it. They said, man, this could be the beginning of a great revival in America. And I believe it could be. But not if we don't take it seriously. Not if we don't understand the obligation and the duty that we have to our church and to one another and the Lord Jesus Christ to serve Him and to teach others and to reach out and to try to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says, walk worthy according to your vocation. The word vocation is a calling or an invitation. And it balances, basically, it speaks about the divine invitation to embrace God's gift and offer the salvation of God. For so long, we were not having much church, and it wasn't, I guess, etiquette-wise to invite people to church. I ceased from passing out some of my tracts that had got your invitation to Victory Baptist Church. Probably shouldn't have, but I didn't want people to feel that we was doing something we shouldn't be. But I've started back. I've shared with people and I've invited people. And I tell you today, with all my heart, the important doctrinal truth tells us who we are by who we are in Jesus. You see, when God gave us all this and more, by the way, this was just in Ephesians. Friend, I could tell you more things God's given to me. And if you hadn't, I wish you'd have been able to write down the references where you could read them. A great reminder of what God's done for us. But I tell you, when He did all that, God gave us all that, He placed it on one side of the scales. And when He placed it on one side of the scales, it went all the way down. But friend, when God gave it to us, and how we appropriate it in our lives goes on the opposite side of the scales. And I wonder today how your scales, I wonder how your scales are. Is it like this, with all Christ's blessing, but very little duty in doing what Christ would have us to do? Let me just get to the point. Philippians 1:27, only let your conversation be as becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs. That you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. We are called on to live our lives of things that look good and present the gospel around about us. We're called to live our lives which reflect the change. We sang that song, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus has come into my heart. Really? Do you mean that this morning? That if you do, let's sing it, but let's mean it. And let people see that there's been a change. And that we love God and we're faithful to God. And we're going to do what God would have us to do as we serve Him. We're called to be different. In fact, the Bible says we're peculiar people. I know a lot of you look at me and say, that's the truth. I'm different, all right. But I'm talking about being different as far as the world, being in Jesus. 1 Peter 1:16, He's called us to be holy. He said, be ye holy. Why? For I am holy. Is that too much to ask for the one that died? for the one that shed his blood, for the one that gave his life. And then in 1 John 2:6, he's called us to be like Christ. Now that's something to live up to, isn't it? That's something that would be very difficult to do, but I submit to you today, we can do it through Christ if we allow ourselves to do it. We know we can never pay him back for all he's done and all he's given to us, but what we do know, who he is, we know what he's done for us, and we know what we're going to do for him and whether we're going to do what Christ would have us to do. I admit sometimes what I preach this morning may be kind of intimidating, but when I think about all that Christ has done for us. Some people said, "Preacher, you sounded mean this morning. You just sounded mean about people, reading the Bible and praying and doing all those things." No, but would you not agree with me that what we do for Christ doesn't even scratch the surface of what Christ has done for us? I tell you, considering that he said, "Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called," I'm called. I have a duty. The duty is to balance the scales. I have the duty to live in light of doctrine. I have the duty to make sure my practice matches my principles. I have a duty to ensure my behavior matches up to what I claim to believe. It's my duty as a believer, and it's this duty as a church to live up to what the Lord Jesus Christ has commanded us to do. In closing, in Hebrews chapter 11, we're introduced to many of these great heroes and heroines of the faith. People like Abel, Enoch, Abraham, Sarah, Moses, Rahab, and on we go. But God says the world was not worthy of them. The same word was worthy is used in verse 1. Listen, they were far above. Their scales kind of went the other way and outweighed, maybe not outweighed, but at least balanced the scales with what they did for Christ. What a waste it is for us to live in this world and be no different, not be holy, and not live like Christ. When it's all said and done, I repeat it all the time, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Paul's challenge to the church is for us to consider our lives. Consider it in light of the doctrine. Consider it in light of what we've done. People come to church and preach, said, "Serve the Lord. Give you time. Pass out tracts, do." And they say, "No, I don't have time for that." Well, take time to remember what Christ has done for me and for you. And brother, if you're saved, it ought to touch your heart and drive you to your knees to say, "Lord, here am I. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll live for you the way you'd have me to live." Our Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being able to stand here this morning and preach. All reality as possibility, I wouldn't even been here today, but I sure am glad I was. Lord, I prayed you'd take the word. I didn't come just to put on a show. I didn't come to just prove that I could preach. I came today to exalt you. Lord, my heart is broken for my church. Lord, I have a desire like never before to see you get a hold of the lives of the people here. Lord, if it's just the people that's here, Lord, you can still use us. But God, I pray that you'd help us remember back that none of us deserve a single thing we have. But the blessings of God have befallen us, and we have a duty to God to serve him and to be faithful. Lord, I ask your will be done. Guide and direct, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.